S-I-B-O-O, San Francisco, baby, baby.
Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba.
Let me in.
Shiba, shiba.
I want to be closer to you.
Shiba, shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba, shiba.
Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your
love. Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, or enjoy something. In San Francisco, there's so much to be enjoyed because there's so many clever people with twisted minds. One of those clever people with a twisted mind that is oh so delicious is here to talk about Drunk Drag Disney. I'd like to welcome China Make It. Hello.
Yes, Queen. Hello, Marilyn. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Girl, I'm fabulous. We're opening the show this week, which you know what that means. It's been intense.
So this is Tech Week, right?
This is Tech Week, yeah. We're going to Tech tonight, tomorrow, and we open up on Thursday.
Yikes. So before we get into this particular show, tell us a little bit about how Drunk Drag Productions came into being.
Yeah, thanks so much. You know, it's been such a journey. And, you know, I moved to San Francisco just over 10 years ago, and I came here with some theater experience and some drag experience. And, you know, I found my tribe pretty quickly. And I found that actually at Rebel, I saw one of Darcy Drollinger's shows that I actually can't name on the radio.
Oh, okay. I know which one it is.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
Something as Champagne.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I went up and connected with Nancy French, and I said, how do I get involved with this? And Nancy said, you want to be a go-go dancer at the next show? I was like, absolutely. And I got connected with Darcy, and I started joining Sexitude, and I kind of found this whole beautiful tribe of drag performers. And, you know, I got involved, and I basically found out that you could perform at Oasis. Oasis had just opened, and we were doing some stuff for Mother back with Heclina.
Uh-huh.
And I told Heclina, rest in peace, darling. I told Heclina, I said, you know, I have this idea for a show that's like a parody, a drag parody of Broadway musicals and using kind of a drunk history format. And Heclina was like, all right, honey, I'll give you a chance, you know, right?
Uh-huh.
Heclina was so good about that kind of thing, right, providing space for us. And so we started as a 20-minute pre-show to Mother.
Uh-huh.
And we did Wickedish our first time. You know, we did this 20-minute show, and she said, you know, that was really great. You should come back and do another. And we did another, and she said, you know, you got a new audience here. You could sell some tickets, because for Heclina, it was all about selling tickets.
Uh-huh.
Filling those seats. And so we did Beauty as a Beast, and we got a full cabaret night. And then over the years, a few years after that, we grew to a weekend, and then to 2 weeks. And we did Hairsprayed, and we did Gays and Dolls, uh-huh, and Grease. And then finally, we produced Drunk Drag Disney on Broadway, and it was a 3-week run for the first time at Oasis for us. So we really grew as part of the culture there. It was so much fun.
Wow, I had no idea. So what was that first show like that you did, the 20-minute opening?
Ooh, girl, it was so fun. We wanted to do basically a parody where we're like, okay, I have a drunk narrator on stage who's telling you the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the performers behind me are acting out the story I'm telling you and like lip syncing the dialogue live.
Uh-huh.
And then we have, because I'm a musical theater queen, okay, I'm a theater gay at heart.
Uh-huh.
I said, I want big production numbers. So we did these kind of shorter versions of the numbers from the show with crazy choreo and, you know, drag interpretations, of course. You know how SF drag is.
Yeah, I
do. And, it just went well. It was a standing room audience only. And actually, the first time we performed, the cast of Wicked was touring on Broadway, was touring here in the city, and they came and saw it. It was so fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Did they come up afterwards and say, you nailed it?
Yeah, we took some pictures and...
That is awesome. So when you do your drunk drag, is anyone actually drunk, or are you guys just acting drunk?
Well, that's a little secret. I mean, we are in a bar and we do have cocktails with us, but I'll tell you a fun thing for the audience is that we actually do put a drinking game in for the audience.
Okay.
So every time this happens or that happens, and I'll tell you the secret of our drinking game this time is every time Walt Disney would roll over in his grave, have to take a drink. Well, that's because he's blacked out and like, you know, 30 minutes. You know, every time, and then, of course, every time you're an adult, take a drink because every time you want to, because we're adults, so we can drink whenever we like.
Right. So you're doing drunk drag Disney. That's very hard to say, and I can imagine if someone was actually drunk, that would be impossible to say. So, so what are you doing? Is it one particular show, or is it a review?
Yeah, you know, it's actually, I grew up in that kind of Disney Renaissance era of Aladdin and Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, right? Mm-hmm. And The Lion King. And to me, they're so precious to me, and I love them so much. You know, we know there's a lot of problematic themes with Disney, mm-hmm. and we address those on stage. We get to kind of tear it down, but also honor what we love. So mm-hmm. I decided to make this story a mashup of the hero's journey of Aladdin, Simba, and Ariel. And we kind of put them all as the lead characters, and they face trials and tribulations, and the villain. Oh, my gosh. You want to hear a fun thing about the villain?
Yes.
So, you know, we have Jafar, Scar, and Ursula are the mm-hmm. traditional villains. So uh-huh. I was like, I can't have a cast that big, girl. So we're going to combine all those villains into one. So we named her Jascarsula. So they, you know, and then we have sidekicks like Olaf from Frozen and Abu Kiki, who is Abu and Rafiki, right? Uh-huh. And of course, we have a special Pixar representation with Edna Mode. So it's all over the Disney universe, but it really takes you through that hero's journey of, you know, going and finding yourself and kind of finding that I want song all the way to the big 11 o'clock number until the show kind of devolves into insanity because we're trash by the end.
I love that. And, I was yesterday old when I learned that Ursula's look was based on Divine. I was
Divine,
like, oh, and
yes.
then once I saw it, I was like, of course it was on Divine, obviously. But I didn't even know that Divine was on Disney's radar.
Right. I mean, you know, animators, it's always, you know, we think Disney, family values, pure, all this. Those animators were artists, just like all of us. Right?
Yes.
They're connected to real art.
They
knew what was really going on. And,
yeah.
You know, when you really think about it, the villains of Disney stories are always queer-coded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have Jafar, definitely gay. Scar, totally a homo, right? And you have Ursula, who's like the queen icon of these, you know, Divine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we took advantage of that, and we gave them a giant, big gay pride number. I can't wait for people to see that.
So we talked that this is Tech Week. So are there any, like, special effects, or because everyone's too hammered, you just, like, no.
Oh, no, this is a perfect balance of, like, we high camp, but then also I want production value, okay? We've got a magic show in this thing. We have illusions. Mm-hmm. We've got quick changes. We've got things you're not going to know how they happened, right? We're using true Disney magic with a Z. And, you know, we're playing the drunk card, but we're still keeping the production value real high. And, you know, being at a venue like Oasis, we're so lucky because the tech team there is incredible, the lighting and sound, and just it's such a great venue for us to get to kind of do this subversive art.
So who all's in the cast?
Oh, my gosh. We have such a great cast. And, you know, some people I've worked with before, others, you know, others who are new to Drunk Drag. So it's me and Elsa Touche, who are going to be the drunk narrators.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing Drinker Bell, and she's Mary's godmother.
Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
We got Polly Amber Roth, who's such an amazing, incredible talent all over town. They're our genie. We have Chester Vanderbox, who's playing Simba. But for opening weekend, it's Linty, who's a super, old Drunk Drag Broadway family member of ours from the beginning. Lucinda Puss is making a special appearance.
Uh-huh.
Gail Y is going to be just Starsula. You know Gail.
Yeah, I do. Awesome.
Yeah. We have Tater Tot, who's new to our group, but is playing Aladdin, and Tater is so funny. Danny Oakley, and then Betty Jane is our Ariel, who's just gorgeous, spectacular, and such a talent.
That's amazing. Are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And all of them are such great singers. That's one thing that people don't often expect of drag is that we're singing the songs live.
Nice. Yeah. Now, because you got your start by simply walking up to somebody and saying, how do I get involved with this? Does that mean that, like, do people come to you after the show and go, this was amazing. How do I get involved with this?
Yes, and actually it's such a great story. That person playing Abu Kiki is Danny Oakley, a drag king. And Danny came up to me drunk at a show, at a Disney show a few years ago, and said, I'm going to be in this show one day.
Aww.
And here it is. It's true, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's something I always tell people. It's like, go ask for what you're looking for. You know, I recognize I have a lot of privilege. I'm a white, cisgendered gay man in San Francisco. The world is my oyster here. But I also know that you have to ask for what you want. And sometimes just like, and you know, we work real hard. Like I said, we started as a 20-minute pre-show. Mm-hmm. We had one-night production, two-night production. That's a lot of work for a very little run. And now these three-week runs, we've kind of earned it. And I'm so grateful to Oasis for giving us this space and keeping us, especially after the pandemic, we took quite a break.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that a lot of people, if you're up and coming and your only experience of theater is what you've seen in the media, you think that, you know, you have to audition and you have to do this and you have to do that. You think there's these very limited ways of getting involved. But for a lot of us, it was simply like walking up to someone and going, hey, how do I get involved with this? And they're like, oh, come on in. It'll be fine. Just show up.
Oh, yeah. It's networking, right? It's just it's going, like I said, finding your tribe, finding the people you connect with and like saying, I want to do this. And usually there's room at the table.
Yeah.
You know, we spent a lot of our rehearsal time this year at the Eclectic Box, which is an old venue, but a new version of it right now. And the Eclectic Box is such a cool space. It's a black box theater, and they do so much subversive, new, original arts that, and they're always looking for people to come and produce things there. There's a lot of opportunity beyond just traditional theater auditions or typical big shows, you know, that are out there.
I've never heard of Eclectic Box. Tell me more about this.
I think it was Stageworks before over there in Valencia.
Oh, okay.
And now it's, you know, Joe and Danny are running it, and they're both, it's a queer-owned black box theater, and we rented a rehearsal space there from them. And they recently produced stuff like they're doing the Heathers. They had a production of Heathers there, the Veronica Sawyer story.
Uh-huh.
They also did a show, or they're coming up with a show right now, The Twilight Zone. They're producing that there. So, and you know, Polly's produced a great murder mystery show there that was very like improv, queer run. Like, it's lots of experimental, fun theater, and it's like such a great way to support local art.
Wow. Thank you for the heads up on that one.
Yeah, check them out, Eclectic Box, for sure.
Okay. And then going back to your show, you say, so this is Tech Week, so it opens when?
Thursday.
This Thursday.
That's right.
Okay.
And we run Thursday and Friday this week, and then we have four performances in the next 2 weeks from Wednesday through Saturday, and they're at 7 p.m. And, you know, one of the special things about our show also that I definitely want to mention is that, you know, Drunk Drag Productions has always been a big advocate of giving back to our community. So we always raise money at every show. You know, we pass the hat and say, you know, we know we're privileged to be on stage. You're privileged to be here in this bar watching us. So, you know, let's give back a little. And this year we're supporting an organization that's near and dear to me as I work with foster youth. So we're donating a lot of our money to For Your Stuff, which is a group that provides luggage to foster youth, because foster kids move their stuff 7 times a year in garbage bags. And I said, no, we can help that. So we're collecting money to buy luggage for foster youth. And that just kind of adds another layer to our like art community that I love.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And I think you've been supporting that cause for a while now. Yes.
Well, we've been supporting charities for a while. I just started that organization this last year. But before that, we were supporting the LGBT Asylum Project, who is kind of the first group. And, you know, we've donated over $20,000, I believe, to these groups over the years. Reproductive rights for women, queer arts featured, which is a great little place in the Castro. And this year, we'll also be contributing a bit to Rhythm, which is the gay chorus's outreach program to youth for the arts.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Well, China, how do people get tickets to get to see the show?
Yeah, they can go to sfoasis.com, or they can go on right onto Eventbrite and just look up Drunk and you'll find it, or Drunk Drag Disney. and we have, you know, all sorts of tiers of tickets. They're very accessible, and we have premium packages for folks. It's super fun. Check out the website. And if anybody has, you know, wants to see us on Facebook, we have an event there. You know, we're kind of all over the social media, and you can just look up Drunk Drag Broadway.
Okay. So, and the location of Oasis for the people who may be going for the first time.
Yeah, it's 298 Folsom, which is 11th and Folsom, right there in Soma. And if you've never been to Oasis, this is going to be an experience like no other. This is a cabaret bar that is like, you know, Darcy Drollinger took over the club right when the pandemic started, and has really even elevated it. It's so classy. It's so like technically advanced. It's so beautiful. And the staff there is so wonderful. It's such a great, cool family clubhouse to go to, but with like high tech and beauty.
Very nice, very nice. And if people want
to... drink specials, too. You got to get your drinks, especially when you come to our show.
And if people want to find out more about China Make It, how they go about doing that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, at China Make It, C-H-Y-N-A-M-A-Y-K-I-T, because she's still just a Southern girl trying to make it in the big city.
Well, China, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having us and your support of the local arts. It really means a lot. We know how much it's such a struggle to produce art in a city like this.
It is.
Any support we have, you know, is great. And I promise it's definitely worth the ticket to come out and see us. Thank you, Marilyn.
You're welcome. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to check out Drunk Drag Disney at Oasis. So, you know, get off your hiney.
Let his flesh not be torn, let his blood leave no stain. Though they beat him, let him feel no pain. Let his bones never break, and however they try to destroy him, let him never die, let him never die. Melakanamen, Melakanamen, Namen, Achu, Machu, Melaka, Elaka. What is this chanting? I don't even know what I'm reading. I don't even know what trick I ought to try. Fiera, where are you? Already dead or bleeding? One more disaster I can add to my generous supply. Unpunished. No act of charity goes unresented. No good deed goes unpunished. That's my new creed. I wrote a good intention letter. Was I really seeking good or just seeking attention? Is that all good deeds are when looked at with an ice cold eye? If that's all good deeds are, maybe that's the reason why. No good deed goes unpunished. All helpful urges should be circumvented. Let all laws be agreed. I'm wicked through and through, since I cannot succeed. Fiero, saving you, I promise no good deed will I attempt to do again, ever again. No good deed will I do
Idina Menzel and No Good Deed from Wicked. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I believe that some good deeds do get good things going. One of those people who makes good deeds happen is the executive director of the Richmond Ermitt Aid Foundation, here to talk about the show that they've got coming up, which is Help is on the Way, Broadway and Beyond. I'd like to welcome Ken Henderson. Hi.
Hi, Marilyn. Good to be here.
Good to hear from you. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been, yes.
So tell me, what have
We had those COVID years. We couldn't do things.
Yeah, that's true. So what have you been up to now that the doors are back open?
Well, we're back producing our events, like the one coming up, Help Is On The Way. It's our 30th anniversary year, and so I'm really excited about that. We're also doing some things in the Palm Springs Coachella Valley area, but you know, we're continuing all the stuff we did in San Francisco.
Well, let's talk about, I know I have some listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the Richmond Ermitt Aid Foundation, so talk a little bit about that.
Well, like I said, we were founded 30 years ago. We've mm-hmm. been producing events to raise money for local charities. We started off as an HIV AIDS fundraiser, mm-hmm. But in 2015, we expanded what we do to include hunger programs and programs for homeless youth and underserved seniors. You know, we also do a small emergency grants to people facing short-term emergency, you know, crisis situations mm-hmm. to try to get them over the crisis and back to living their normal lives. So it's kind of what we've been doing for 30 years now. It's hard to believe. It's been so long.
So what was the impetus for starting it in the first place?
Well, we had lost so many, my partner and I, Joe Seiler, mm-hmm. had lost so many people to the AIDS epidemic, mm-hmm. you know, especially back in that time where AIDS was considered pretty much a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And Doug Ermitt, who's one of the sons the foundation was named for, was our best friend, and his mom is the second mom to us. Mm-hmm. So she and her friend, Barbara Richmond, who were both lost their only sons, they were living together at that point. They were each other's source of inspiration and comfort and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And they asked us if we'd help put on a benefit. And we said, sure, why not? You know, and we thought we'd be doing something for a few years. The AIDS crisis would be over. And we'd go on with our lives. And 30 years later, there still is not a cure. Things are better. There's medication. But people are still living with HIV. Mm-hmm. And it's still a bit of a problem. So we're continuing to do it and keeping things going.
Excellent. So what was, you put on this benefit, and what made you decide to do these shows?
Well, both of the sons were involved in show business in some way or the other.
Okay.
John Richmond did set design, costume design, and he was best friends with so many of the local performers, especially the Beach Blanket Babylon people. Mm-hmm. And Doug was a patron of the arts, loved cabaret, loved Broadway. And it just seemed like a logical thing to do to sort of honor their memories, to do something that they would have both loved to be involved with.
Oh, okay. Okay. So over the years, like, give us an idea of the various types of shows that you've put on.
Well, most of our shows have a Broadway focus. We bring in a lot of stars from Broadway, television, movies. It's an ensemble kind of cast all the time, so you've got a variety of performers who all come in and do like one or two numbers, mm-hmm. and it's a Broadway style concert. They're great fun, and we've different themes. We did composer themes for a number of years, but then we sort of went on to more just kind of general Broadway themes, so mm-hmm. people could sing their favorite Broadway songs, basically. the songs they were most famous for.
So I seem to recall that there was one, like maybe it was the last show that you did, where people from Broadway would come, but they do songs that they didn't normally do, but that they had always wanted to do.
That's true. But we also, a lot of times we work with touring Broadway cast to come to town. Mm-hmm. In fact, for this one that's coming up next week, we have the touring cast of Mrs. Doubtfire that's going to be participating.
Okay.
So we have most of that cast coming, and that's where they get to do other songs that they don't sing in the show every night. So, and you have, you know, all the cast members. Normally you have the leads of the show who sing 90% of the show. Mm-hmm. In the cabaret shows, you have really talented backup singers or, you know, smaller players that don't get to sing all the big numbers who are super talented. And this way they get to have their moment to shine and their moment to show what they can do.
Oh, I love that. Now, when you meet these artists, I mean, does your reputation precede you, or do you have to explain what your mission statement is?
Well, we're always trying to add somebody that's new and different to sort of keep things fresh. But so many of the performers we work with have a great time and they just keep wanting to come back. You know, for the one that's coming up, we've had like Debbie Boone. She's done a number of our shows. Love's coming in, David Burnham, Lisa Broman, you know, he was in Light of the Piazza and Wicked on Broadway. Lisa was Phantom of the Opera for many years here and then moved to New York and did it. Faith Prince is going to be one of our newest, you know, coming in. She's a Tony Award winner for Guys and Dolls. You know, so you've got all these people who are
heavy hitters,
super talented, who've done our shows. They fortunately, when we call, they either want to come back. So they become like family for us.
Aww.
You know, they love getting together again. They see a lot of they see each other a lot of times at the kind of benefit circuit. So when they come in together, it's like, oh yeah, old home week.
Very nice. So what's the structure of how does the evening progress?
Well, we start off with a silent auction. In this case, it'll open about 6:30. Doors open for seating at 7. The show starts at 7:30. And it's just a really wonderful evening of music and song and some dance. We have an intermission. We have a limited live auction. And then afterwards, we have for the VIP ticket holders, we have a big VIP after party at the Beacon Grand Hotel, which is like one block away.
Okay. So when people come to the event, how should they present themselves?
Well, like it's a normal theatrical event. You know, you come as you would if you're going to any kind of theater. But, we have tickets on sale in advance. We'll have limited tickets at the door.
Okay.
All the VIP tickets are basically sold out, but we still have some dress circle balcony seats available.
And where is the show?
Oh, it's the Marines Memorial Theater. It's very close to Union Square, right on Sutter Street at Taylor.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned where they can get tickets. You've talked about where the show is.
Actually, I don't think I said where to get tickets. You can go to our website at reef.org.
Okay.
And ticket links are all there and all the prices.
And so when is the show again?
The show is next Sunday, July 14th.
Oh, very nice.
7:30 p.m., Murray's Memorial Theater. And this one also, important point to make, is it benefits Project Open Hand, as well as raising some funds for our small emergency grants program. Open Hand has been a beneficiary of ours quite a number of times. We really appreciate the work they do. It's like so important, you know, food distribution for those who are critically ill, including HIV and AIDS, and those who don't have other sources of food to, you know, to survive.
Very nice. So,
yeah,
you're doing this, and how often do you do these Help Us on the Way shows?
Well, this is an annual show that we do every year. In addition to this, we also do a series of cabaret shows. We call it our One Night Only Benefit Cabaret Series with touring Broadway shows. We just did one with the cast of Funny Girl about a month ago. And we'll be working with some of the other casts that are coming later in the fall and next year. You know, so those are two of our series. We also do our sexier version of Broadway Bears San Francisco Strips. And the point to make with that is when we say Broadway Bears, it's B-A-R-E-S, not B-E-A-R-S.
Right. That is a distinction you need to make in San Francisco.
It makes a big difference.
It does. It does. And so tell us a little bit about that.
That's based on Broadway Cares in New York has been doing Broadway Bears for a number of years now, probably about at least 25 years. And it's like a burlesque-style dance show where you have a series of numbers based on a common theme. And different dancers come in. All of them are very tongue-in-cheek, very fun. Mm-hmm. It's really a dance show, kind of with a burlesque style. We call it a strip show, although there's no full nudity.
Of course not.
And it's just a great fun. This year we did one called Film Strips. So we're all based on ideas from different movies. You know, we've had, James Bond, blanking on all the names, all the different ones we did this year. But they're really fun and just a really down-home kind of nightclub scene as opposed to Broadway concert scene.
And so is that also just once a year?
Yeah, that's also an annual one. It's usually right around Pride weekend or Father's Day or Pride.
Okay, so next year you need to make sure that that's on my radar so that we can come in and talk about that one as well.
Oh, yeah, that's really fun. And we have some amazing choreographers. We have about 70 to 80 dancers on stage.
Wow.
Doing, like I said, a series of like 10 numbers. So it's just one of the most fun events that I think we do. I was joking to see in San Francisco, period.
Excellent. Well, so one more time for our listening audience, when and where for Help is on the Way, Broadway and Beyond, and how do they get tickets?
Yeah, July 14th, 7:30 p.m., Marines Memorial Theater, after party at the Beacon Grand Hotel, and get tickets at our website at reaf.org, R-E-A-F as in Frank, .org.
All right. Well, Ken Henderson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go support a worthy cause while enjoying Broadway caliber performances. That is Help is on the Way, Broadway and Beyond. He mentioned Debbie Boone, so you know I got to play some Debbie Boone.
So many nights I'd sit sing me his song. So many dreams I kept deep inside.
What's a girl to do when she's stuck between men? It's like she's a Barbie with two perfect Kens. But wait, it just occurred to me. Maybe I can solve this with geometry. Yes, smarts can help this situation untangle. So professors, teach me the math of love triangles. Yay, time for book facts.
A triangle is a polygon with three edges and three vertices. Take the base times the height. Cut that in half to find the area of the surfaces.
Uh-huh, I wasn't really listening, but I can see. The center of the triangle is little me. The math of love triangles isn't hard to learn.
You're not taking in what we're saying. We're a little bit concerned.
Yes, the math of love triangles is as simple as can be. Whichever Tom or Dick I might pick, the center of the triangle's little me.
Actually, a triangle has multiple centers. This triangle's scalene.
That's astute, so I need to decide which man's more acute.
Here's Pythagoras' theorem.
Will this help me choose? If not, I'll be swinging from a hypotenuse.
Let's take a look at what this line bisects.
Is that spelled B-I-S-E-X?
Those are good puns, but please pay attention.
Oh no, professors, am I facing suspension? Whee! A swing! It's literal suspension. The math of love triangles isn't hard to learn.
We're starting to suspect you don't sincerely want to know about triangles.
Yes, the math of love triangles is as simple as can be. I need to choose between men, but until then, the center of the triangle's little me. Is this a triangle?
No, that's a shoe.
Is this a triangle?
No, that's you.
So I'm a triangle?
What? No.
1, 2, 3, 6, 8, 3, go!
You don't seem to know how to count. We're sincerely worried about you.
Catch me!
You're ruining the number.
This angle's right.
Which angle's right?
No, not right, like correct.
Ooh, are you erect?
No, 90 degrees.
That's really erect. The math of love triangles is super duper fun.
We're tired of all your tangents. That's also a triangle pun.
Oh, thanks for teaching me man math. You all deserve a kiss.
Lady, we're all gay. We get nothing out of this.
Neither man will notice my learning disability. Cause the center of the triangle is Lil, old, sexy little baby me.
Huh.